Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Lord, to you, for I desire
to worship,
and obey,
for I desire. I desire to worship and obey. Yes, Lord. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for your presence, the presence of your Spirit. As we go into the Word, we ask that that presence go with us. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, and those all who will hear me remotely electronically, so that the Word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful to deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in their individual lives, all agreed and said, this afternoon I have a very important present truth prophetic message. When we say present truth, we mean truth in the Bible that is presently being fulfilled. That's what we mean by present truth. All the Bible is the word is truth. The Bible says thy word is truth. But there is a present truth for every season. For instance, when Jesus was being crucified on the cross, the truth that had been in the Bible for thousands of years in Isaiah 53, in Psalm 22, became present truth because it was happening at that time. And so it is. All scripture is prophetic, as we have taught in recent times. And there is a time when the prophetic scripture it will be fulfilled. And we are living in such a time. This prophetic present truth I bring to you is entitled The Fire of Judgment. As I speak, it has started. Like I said, Pastor Deary didn't know what I was going to preach, but he touched on it quite solidly during the Bible study. The fire of judgment is not going to start. It has started. And it's going to increase in intensity. It's going to increase in volume in the days that are ahead of us. What is this fire of judgment? God is bringing judgment to the whole world. but firstly to the church. The Bible says that judgment must begin at the house of God. It goes on to say, I'm getting ahead of myself, that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall we find the ungodly and the sinner? Anytime I think of that scripture, I remember Jesus at Gethsemane. Of course, you're Son of God, sinless, righteous, but at Gethsemane, he tittered. He didn't do the wrong thing, but he wavered. When I say he wavered now, he was facing the very purpose for which he had been sent. And he knew it. He knew the Bible. He said to them many, many times, the Son of Man shall be betrayed, he will die, he will rise again. But when the time came, because of his humanity, you must never forget Jesus was a man. The Bible says he was tempted in every way like as we are, and he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He said, Father, if it be possible, please let this cup pass from me. He said, nevertheless, not what I want. In other words, what my flesh wants, what my body wants, what my emotions want now is not to go to that cross. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. God really appreciates honesty of heart. That's honesty of heart. He was being transparent with God. He was being honest. And the Bible says God sent an angel from heaven strengthening him. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where are we going to find the ungodly and the sinner? And the ungodly and the sinner are not the same. The ungodly is the Christian born again who is not like God. That's why he's called ungodly. And God, the scriptures differentiate between the ungodly and the sinner. The sinner is a person who is not born again. And there is a lot of ungodly Christians in the church. Hence the fire. Let us first of all read in Isaiah chapter 4. This is a prophetic scripture. In other words, it is a scripture that speaks prophetically about something that is going to come in the future. Let me say this. I have said it many times, but it bears repetition. Because the more we hear, the more we perceive, the better we understand. By the grace and the mercy of God, I operate a prophetic teaching anointing. So my prophetic ministry has to do more with teaching than with utterance. I do bring a prophetic utterance sometimes. When I say utterance, in which you have an unction on you, and then you now say, thus saith the Lord, and then you prophesy by what is known as the gift of prophecy. However, a higher operation of the prophetic ministry is prophetic teaching, which is how Jesus operated. You never hear Jesus say, thus saith the Lord. You don't see Jesus operating the gift of prophecy. But he taught prophetically, oh, the kingdom of God will be likened unto 10 virgins. And 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. It's prophetic. He was talking about what's going to happen in the end time. And it was, thus saith the Lord. And so this teaching I'm bringing you is along those lines. It is a prophetic teaching, present truth prophetic teaching. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4, tells us what God is doing now. Let me, in order for us to appreciate it, let us actually read from verse 2. I didn't plan to do that. I'm just, the Holy Spirit, my eye just dropped on it now. In that day, turn to your neighbor and say, that day is this day. We're there now. So when the Bible, every time you see in the Old Testament, many, many times you see in that day, it's talking about the third day. The third day is the third millennium from the birth of Christ, and it is the day of the perfection of the church. The Lord Jesus himself taught on this again, prophetically. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord, but it was, thus saith the Lord. He said, talking to, you know, to the people, go and tell Herod, that fox. He says, today and tomorrow, I will cast out devils and do cures. He said, but the third day, I will be perfected. So, we are in that third day. Now, we actually entered it about 25 years ago, which I find extremely significant. And I'll probably preach on that some other time. Because when God gave promise to Abraham, between the time the promise was given and the fulfillment was about 25 years. You know, so I believe there's some prophetic significance in there. I never thought of it before, but you know, if you 1995 to today is 25 years, you know, 25, 26 years, you know. And this was the time we entered the church. Many of the people in the church didn't know it. We entered into what the Bible calls the third day. The third day is the third millennium from the birth of Christ. And the Gregorian calendar that we use, if you look at, if you can study this, check it on the internet, you find that Jesus was actually born about 4 BC. So that's why we're looking at 1995, 1996. These are prophetic shadows, but we're in there already. So the Bible says, in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. Now, listen, the branch of the Lord is not the Lord. It's the branch of the Lord. Jesus tells us what that is. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So it's us. He's talking about the Christians that are in him. He says, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. That reminds me of Ephesians chapter 5, a glorious church. That's going to come up more again during this message. You know, not having spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Or anything. He said it will be beautiful and glorious, but it's not beautiful and glorious right now. But it will be. That's why it's present truth. And the fruit of the earth, again, this is the fruit of the Spirit, that the earth, which is our hearts, brings forth. Parable of the sower. Jesus said, the sower goes forth to sow. He said, that which is on good ground, a good and honest heart, they will bring forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So when the Bible talks the earth there, it's not talking about the literal earth. He's talking about the hearts of the branches. Our hearts, the mind, the will, the emotions. He says it will bring forth fruit. But something has to happen. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely. Watch this. For them that are escaped of Israel. In other words, it's going to be a remnant. There are going to be some people in the church that are going to escape the fire of the judgment that has already started. Mommy mentioned this, and Pastor Deary, you know, was echoing Mommy and you know, amplifying this using the Philadelphia church as a type. He says, and I will keep you from the trial that will come to try the whole world. They that escape. That word escape also reminds me of the scripture. Again, this is in my notes, but it's not. I didn't want to say it now, but I'm going to say it because the Holy Spirit has brought it to me. The Bible says that, you know, don't be afraid. This is Olubi paraphrase. It says, you know, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. But with the temptation, he will make a way of what? Everybody shout it loud. I didn't hear you. Escape. So these are the people he's talking about. Them that are escaped. You see, those that will use the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus to escape the temptations and the pressures and the trials that have come upon the earth now. They that are escaped. Israel there is just a type of the church. The Bible says, you know, if you're the seed of Abraham, then Gentiles become partakers of the... So anytime you see Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, Zion in the Old Testament, there is always at least a double application. There will be a natural application to natural Israel. Then there is always a spiritual application to the church, which is spiritual Israel. That is why you find Paul quoting Jeremiah in the book of in the book of Hebrews, where he says that, you know, for thus saith the Lord, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse chapter 9, you know, he says that, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel in those days, you know, and I will write my, this is the covenant which I'll make with them, I will write my law upon their hearts and their minds, and they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. And they will not say to their neighbor, no. He wasn't talking about Israel, he was talking about the church. But he quotes it in Hebrews as the church. So that's you can take that to the bank. Anytime, particularly in the Old Testament, whenever you see Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, Ephraim, Joseph, it all is referring to natural Israel at that time when the prophets were speaking. And then it has a prophetic reference to what is happening to us, the church, today, as we will see as I go on. So he's talking to us. He says, for them that are escaped of Israel. In other words, those that will use the word of God to escape the temptation and the trial. And you escape, you know, the Bible tells us this, God is not, he's faithful. You're not allowed to be tempted about what you're able to bear. But will make a way of escape. If you take the way of escape, then you'll be one of those that are escaped of Israel. You will escape the fire of the judgment. It's coming to everybody. No exceptions. Nobody is exempt from what is coming, from what is already happening now. Amen. And those of us who are in the church, he says, judgment must begin at the house of God. And then you go a step further, you know, those of us in leadership, there is nobody who is escaping this. You know why? The branch must be glorious. And it must be excellent. This now brings us to verse 3 and then verse 4. And it shall come to pass. I didn't hear you. He that is left in Zion. Now look at the language changes. And this is why you have to have prophetic insight and understanding. He spoke about Israel. They say, he that is left in Zion. Zion there is symbolic of the perfect church. And that remaineth in Jerusalem. Jerusalem again is symbolic of the church that has a revelation of perfection. See, God gave me this revelation many years ago, over 20-something years ago. And I'm not the only one. You know, there are other prophetic teachers who've taught the same. But I got the revelation, you know, personally from the Holy Spirit. So when the Bible talks about Israel, it's talking about the whole church. When talking about Jerusalem, it's talking about what we call the Pentecostal church. Those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues, and thereby have the key, although many of them don't use it, to revelation. Then when you're talking about Zion, Zion is now the church that goes into perfection. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 50, which we're going to soon, it says that out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. So you see him tell us that, you know, this church, this branch, is going to be glorious. Those that use the word of God, that will escape of Israel, then they will be the people that are left in Zion, and they will remain in Jerusalem, shall be called holy. Now, the implication of this is that, number one, not everybody will escape. Hence, this prophetic message. The purpose of the prophetic message is never to condemn. It is always to show the way out. The ministry of the prophet, and I've walked in this I started in 1988. My prophetic teaching ministry about that, you know, somewhere in there. It has grown and developed over the years by the grace of God. You know, I can tell you the purpose of the prophetic ministry is to preach, to teach, and prophesy when you use the gifts of the Spirit, you know. But, you know, the prophesying and gifts of the Spirit is occasional because it's only as the Spirit wills. But the preaching and the teaching can be consistent through prayer and intercession. You download revelation, and then you come and deliver it to the church. So the purpose of the prophet is to preach, teach, and prophesy about the purpose of God that is imminent. That's why it is typified by the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. So the prophet, by revelation, he will understand the season and the time that the church is in. Then he would preach and teach and prophesy, you know, as the Spirit of God wills, you know, what Israel ought to do in order to fulfill the purpose of God for those times and seasons. That is what I'm doing now. We are in the season and the time of the fire of judgment. The purpose of the message is not to condemn, is to tell you what you ought to do so that you can be one of those that will escape of Israel. You can be one of those that will be left in Zion. You can be one of those that remains in Jerusalem. The implication is this: there are some who will not escape. And there are some who will not be left in Zion. And there are some who will not remain in Jerusalem. Let me just take a little bit of a side, you know, thing. This is something the Lord spoke to me recently. You know, Shimei, I'm going to be talking about Shimei and Absalom and Nathan in the weeks and the months ahead. I have a lot of messages. I have about 5 or 6 of them. You know, I've kept them. But the Spirit of God is with me. But let me just talk a little bit about Shimei. Shimei was a Benjamite who hated David. When David's son Absalom rebelled against him, this Shimei fellow, you know, he began to curse David. And he began to throw stones at him as David was walking up the hill barefooted and crying because of God's judgment that had come on him because of Absalom's rebellion. David's warriors were very, very angry. The sons of Zeruiah, the brothers of Joab. And they said, "My lord the king, who is this Benjamite? Let me go and take his head off." And they would have done it. David calms them down and says, "No, just leave him alone." He said, "If my own son that came out of my bowels is Benjamin, how much more this Benjamite?" He said, "Ignore him." The rebellion is crushed. And David returns to Jerusalem, back as king, by God's mercy and grace. One of the first people that come up is Shimei. There are many Shimeis in the church today. Many. Let me tell you, one of the characteristics of Shimei. These people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. "Oh, my Lord, forgive thy servant. I'm a dead dog," blah, blah, blah. And these boys want to take revenge on him. David said, "This, so many people have died already in this rebellion. Let this man alone, you know." So he said, "Don't go to your house, don't worry. You will not die." And he meant it. About 30 years pass, 20-something, 30 years pass. It's very important to understand this, because see, you need to do something about your heart. If you do not do something about it, it will deteriorate. If you do something about it, it will get better. It all depends on you. So David is on his deathbed, and he has received from the Holy Spirit instructions for the temple. And he calls Solomon his son. He said, "These are the plans for the temple given to me by the Spirit. You know, I've laid aside some money. You're a wise man. You know, get some more and make sure you build the temple and everything. God told me I can't build a temple, but you will." In the same breath, that's how you know it's the Holy Ghost. He said, "And remember Shimei, the son of Gera." He said, "For thou art a wise man." He said, "Let not his hoary head go down to the grave in peace, because he cursed me when your brother Absalom rebelled." David dies. He's buried. Solomon ascends to the throne. So he calls Shimei. And this is where this is important. It's relevant here. They that remain in Jerusalem. This is the prophetic application of the scripture. So he calls Shimei. He said, you know the wickedness of your heart and all that you did to my father, but you will not die. I will not be the one. He said, but don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. For the day you leave Jerusalem without permission, without letting me know, then you will be killed and it will be you that use your own hand to kill yourself. And Shimei says, fine. 3 years pass. It's important to read the Bible, folks. Because God deals with the heart. If that guy had changed, nothing would have happened to him. But it was still there. See, a lot of people, how do I know that? You know, I shared this some weeks ago in the School of the Spirit. Can you believe that people will still have rebellion in their heart after 1,000 years of the millennial reign? That amazes me. But it tells me what the Bible says, that the heart of man is deceitful above all things. And if you don't do something about it with the word of God, it will stay like that for 1,000 years. 1,000 years! Then the Bible says Satan is loosed from his pit, from his prison, and he goes about and he gets a crowd. This same crowd that have been on the earth under Jesus' reign for 1,000 years. See, you can come to church and your heart may not change. If you don't use the word of God, the blood, the word, and the spirit, that's the only thing that can change the human heart. If you don't use it, your heart will not change. So Shimei's heart didn't change. The rebellion was still there. So, 3 years, his sheep or goats or whatever, covetousness, hadn't changed. Because some material thing had gone out of Jerusalem, he saddles his horse or ass or donkey or whatever, and he goes to go and look for those things without permission. Very simple thing. He could have stayed in Jerusalem, got his servants, or sent to Solomon, my sheep or something. Please, I want to send people. He would have had permission. But what is inside the heart will always come out. So Shimei leaves Jerusalem. And Solomon has him watched 24/7. So he goes, gets the material things he went to look for, and comes back. And Solomon sends for him. You know, I told you that you should not leave. I'm going to show you the prophetic application in a minute to us today. You know, I told you not to leave Jerusalem. But you did. So, you'll be executed. So he sends Benaiah. And Shimei is executed. But what's the application today? Jerusalem is the place of revelation. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't leave it. I didn't hear you. You can. John the Baptist left Jerusalem. Revelation, the person you see the Holy Spirit come upon, he is that baptized in the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God. He said, for I did not know him. They were cousins. 6 months was between them. You know? All those years, you know, then, twice, three. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Fast forward 6 months later. He's in prison, imprisoned by Herod, this same John the Baptist. And he now sends to Jesus, Art thou he that cometh? Or should we, he left Jerusalem. Turn to your neighbor. Say, don't leave Jerusalem. You won't escape. You didn't add what I said. You will not escape. I know it's a hard message, but my face is harder than flint. And I'm not looking at your faces. I'm being serious. I'm telling you what God told me. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't leave Jerusalem. You will not escape. Just like Shimei didn't escape, you won't escape. Don't leave Jerusalem. Pastor, how will I not leave Jerusalem? I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll tell you. Maintain an honest and a humble heart and pray daily for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray in the spirit. Read your Bible every day and you will stay in Jerusalem. Neglect those things, you will leave Jerusalem and you will not escape. Now, the purpose of this message is for you to escape. It's not a negative message. I have no joy and I have no, it is not my intention for you not to escape. It is my intention for you to escape. But I'm telling you what you have to do to escape. If you leave Jerusalem, you will not escape. Like Shimei did not escape. It's one of the reasons why there are stories in the Bible. So all that Jerusalem and all that, they're all types and shadows of what is applying to us today. Christians that leave the place of revelation, of the perfection and the fullness, that the branch of the Lord shall be glorious and beautiful, will not escape. Do not leave Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass, verse 3, Isaiah 4, that he that is left in Zion, I didn't hear you, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, and everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem, not Israel, Jerusalem, the place of revelation, of perfection. Those are the people God's going to preserve. You know why? He's coming for a glorious church. He's not coming for those who want to live outside Jerusalem. He's not coming for them. We'll get there in a minute. When, verse 4, when the Lord shall have washed away. Ever said, the Lord shall have washed away. You see, that is futuristic. So it means that what God is doing now is to wash away. So turn to them and say, God is washing away now the filth of the daughters of Jerusalem. They have revelation, but they've got a lot of filth. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem in the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Hence the message, the fire of judgment. As I speak this afternoon, a fire has already started in the church. A fire of the judgment of God. And it has a purpose. It is to wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion. They're in Zion. But there's still a lot of filth in their mind, in their will, and in their emotions. Remember Joshua the high priest. Zechariah chapter 3 or 4. I think it's 3. He says, look at his garments. He says they're dirty. He says, remove the filthy garments. Take the turban off. The turban is what clothes the head, which represents the mind. He says, and give him a new turban. The mind of Christ. A fair metal on his head. And clothe him with garments. That's the purpose of this fire. So we've all been asking this question. When will the glory come? God send the glory. I got good news for you. It's coming. But brother, when it comes, it's not going to be as palatable as you think. It's going to burn away the filth. It's going to remove the blood. Blood there represents, you know, like if you have blood on your hands. Paul said, I am free of the blood of all men because I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. See, pastors who don't declare the whole counsel of God have blood on their hands. And God must purge the blood. A lot of our people have blood on their hands. Let me use this opportunity to talk about this. It's part of the message. And it has come by the Spirit now. The last elections in America, and all the so-called prophetic words that came that were not fulfilled, and very few, a few did, apologized and repented. But others have still stubbornly held on. And it has affected the faith of thousands, if not millions. They have blood on their hands. They have blood on their hands. The faith of a lot of people has been shaken. The faith of a lot of people has been destroyed. Because the prophets prophesied what was in their heart, not what God was saying. And that is why going forward, I want to say this to all of us. Be careful before you say, thus saith the Lord. If you are not sure, say you are not sure. If you are perceiving, say I'm perceiving. Be as honest as Paul. Paul said, I write to you, this one is God. This one, it is me. But I believe I have the Spirit of God. And God said, yes, it's okay. But be honest enough to make that distinction. And don't try to think you are make people think you are an infallible prophet. That stems from pride. No prophet is infallible. The only thing that is infallible is the Word of God. So always, anything you believe God says that is telling you, say, well, I perceive, I believe this is what God is saying. But don't make it rigid. You know why? You are not God. You are like God, but you are not God. And you will never be God. You will only become more and more like God. One day I asked the Lord a question in all this crisis. I said, Lord, why didn't you tell us? The Lord laughed. You know, God laughs. God is a very nice person, lovely sense of humor. You know, he said, son, he said, if I told you everything, then what will you need faith for? He said, I will never tell you everything. I will only tell you enough for you to walk in faith. Then you have to trust me. He said, then he also told me, he said, if I gave you too much detail, it will swell your head and you will become proud. He said, that's why I give you a little detail, but I don't give you everything. So you will always remember that there's 2,000 cubits between me and you. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, now I understand. He said, for instance, and he gave me an example. He said, for instance, I only told Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive. I didn't tell him the name. I didn't tell him the city. He said, that's what I do. I will tell you the basics, but there are details I keep to myself. Because some details are worked out at the time of fulfillment. The son of the widow that Elisha was staying in her house, he dies. God didn't tell Elisha. The woman takes her chariot and rides furiously. He said, is that not that Shunammite? Say, yeah. She rides furiously. Oh, woman, is it well with thy husband? It is well. Is it well with the child? It is well. I said, oh, man of God. Did I tell you not to deceive me? Did I ask you for a child? And she didn't ask. It was Elisha who said. And you know what Elisha said? He said, Lord, why have you? And you did not tell me. That will always be the difference between us and God. All Elisha needed to know is that the child will live and will not die, according to the word of the Lord. So what happens? Elisha goes into the bedroom where the child is laid. He prays. That's where we get praying, walking up and down. They didn't have tongues in those days, but he prayed and prayed and prayed. Then he lays upon the child. He puts his nose on the nose, mouth on the mouth. And he says, Lord, raise this child. And the body of the child warmed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to do the same. Very soon. And he now takes the child, raised from the dead, and delivers him to the mother. And the mother says, now I know you're truly a man of God. God didn't have to tell him the detail. Because he had to operate by faith. So as I speak, God is washing away the filth. The fire of it's not coming, it's here. And what we saw in America, and what we still see in America, that fire is raging as I speak. It's coming to Nigeria too. In fact, it's here too. Is that fire is raging through the church. That is the fire of God's judgment to remove the filth of the daughters of Jerusalem. Because the branch of the Lord, Pastor G, must be excellent and glorious. Psalm 50. See, God told me, he said, you have to preach this message today. Can't put it next week. Next week is Thanksgiving. And we're going to read from verses 3. Well, let's read from verse 2. Let's read from verse 1. It's a prophetic scripture. Speaking prophetically about what God is doing now. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. But how is that going to happen? You see, we take that scripture in isolation. But when you take it in its prophetic context, you will now understand that for God to shine out of Zion, what verses 3, 4, and 5 and 6 and 7 must be fulfilled because of the filth of the daughters of Zion. So, our God shall come. Prophetic. In other words, he hasn't come yet, but he's coming. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. He's coming. In fact, he's already coming because the fire has gone before him. The fire has already started. It's been released. And that's what we're experiencing now as the trials that's come to try the whole world. All this COVID-19. Isn't it interesting that they get vaccines for COVID-19 and suddenly new variants have come out? Have you wondered about that? Variant in England, variant in South America, variant in South Africa. And some of the variants, they are not sure that the vaccines can handle. So it takes us back to a reset button. You know what God is saying? You need me. Your science and technology can only go so far. And we're going to take the vaccine. When it comes, we'll take it. You know, but you see, the vaccine is not the 100% insurance. The 100% insurance is Jesus. Take the vaccine, you know, use the sanitizer and all of that. But ultimately, your confidence must not be in man. For woe to the man who puts his trust in the flesh. That was why Asa died. How many people know Asa? I'm going to be preaching about him in some weeks' time. Great king of Israel. Great guy. But pride entered his heart. See, that's why you need to keep that heart. No matter how good you are now, if you don't keep the heart, you will deteriorate. Asa was a great king. I have a message. I think it's Asa, Jehoshaphat, and I have it anyway. I'll bring it out. You know, Asa, great king. Then his heart was lifted up. A million army came to fight Asa. He had only about 500,000. He called on God. God gave him the victory. Then his heart got lifted up. And the prophet spoke to him. He got angry with the prophet. And speak against the prophet. And then he got sick. Then he sought the physicians. But he did not seek God. And he died of that sickness. Why didn't he seek God? Because he was not in a good fellowship with God. Because he had rebelled against God. A good king. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of life. No matter how much Bible you know, no matter how much you pray, you still need to pray tomorrow. I'm going to repeat it. No matter how much Bible you know, no matter how much revelation you have, no matter how much you pray, and I'm speaking to Olubi Johnson. Because I, by the grace and the mercy of God, but I have revelation, I have prayer, I pray a lot and all of that, but I still have to pray tomorrow. I still have to read my Bible tomorrow. I still have to keep my heart humble tomorrow. I cannot rely on past glories and say, well, I have arrived. And I don't need to pray as much as I used to anymore. The day I make that decision, I start going down. Wake up, folks! It's one of the things that's killing the church. A lot of us have a lot of revelation. God has said a lot of things to us. We've had a lot of victories. And we think we have arrived. You never arrive. You must keep that heart humble. That was what caused Asa's fall. Then he sought the physicians. The vaccines. The sanitizers. They have their place. But your confidence must not be in man. the only sure guarantee, the guarantor of the New Testament, whoever liveth to make intercession, that is your insurance. It is only him, not science and technology alone. There's a place for them that can save you to the very uttermost. Learn it and establish it. Use medical science where you can, but your ultimate faith must be in God. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. See, so a fire shall devour what? Before him. See, so you see, because we've seen this fire, we know God is very close. See, that God is coming, but in front of him, there is a fire. That fire has started now. So we know he's very close. We know he's very, that's why Pastor Dio said earlier on, I'm going to get to those scriptures in a minute, you know, said that the day is dawning. He's coming. And he has already sent a fire ahead of him. That's that fire of this judgment, this COVID, and all this. And it's not going to be the last one. Sorry, bad news, but it's good news. It's not going to be the last one. Other things are going to come up. It may not necessarily be COVID, it may not necessarily be a sickness or a plague. It can be in other forms. It's all a consequence of the collective and cumulative sin of a whole generation. The whole earth is groaning and travailing. You see, all the things we've done, you know, the climate change, you know, the climate warming and everything, the whole planet is writhing under the influence of the sin of humanity. There is only one salvation, the sons of God, to deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. That is why the whole creation is going and waiting for our manifestation. Other challenges are going to come, but with the glory of God and the Spirit without measure, we will overcome them. They will come, we will overcome them. Another one will come, we will overcome it. Another one will come, we will overcome it. No problem. But it's those who are inside the church that are escaped in Jerusalem, that remain in Jerusalem, that are escaped of Israel, that are remain in Zion. Those are the guys who are going to escape. The rest of the world, he says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, wherewith shall we find the ungodly and the sinner? People are going to wake up. We say, we've been shouting and prophesying for years. Nobody is listening. But now, with these things that are happening on the earth and the imminent manifestation of the glory of God, we will get their attention. Our God shall come, verse 3, Psalm 50, and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him. That's what I'm preaching. And it shall be very tempestuous round about him. It's happening now. He, don't your neighbor say he, God, shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge the world, his people. That this fire has been sent ahead to judge us, the people of God. Because judgment must begin at the house of God. The world is still down, is coming. But our own has started. Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. These are the guys who are going to escape. Let me just take a slight diversion here. Moses goes up to the mountain to get revelation of the Ten Commandments. But he's long. He hasn't come down. There's restlessness. You know, that's the thing about people, no patience. Once God doesn't come next week, people start getting restless. Where is this Moses? Where is the promised land? Where is the land of milk and honey? This Moses, he wants to make himself a prince over us. So the sons of Korah, they arise. And they go through the camp. And begin to tell the people, we don't know that he may even be dead. Look at that fire. The guy's been there for 40 days. Nobody can guarantee when he's coming back. Brethren, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. At least in Egypt we have onions and leeks. We have food every day. Honey, you know what? They forgot that every day God opened heaven and sent down angels' food. How ungrateful can the human heart be? They keep forgetting. They're in a wilderness, in a place where there is nothing, yet every day, without fail, the manna would come down from heaven. Provision was made. Their clothes did not wear. Their feet did not swell. They've forgotten all of that. All of that was happening while they were rebelling. They had forgotten that every day, honey, how do you provide enough water for 3 million people in a desert? This was a daily thing. The rock that followed them was Christ. It was a mobile waterworks. They had their bath. They washed their clothes. They cooked their food. It was happening daily. They forgot all that. See, when there's rebellion in the heart, you will not remember what God has done. Correction. And what God is presently doing. Your eyes will be closed. All you can think of is what you want. Where is this Moses? Aaron! And that one was weak. He wasn't a bad man, but he was weak. Make us gods! That will take us back to Egypt. And Aaron in his foolishness. Okay, bring your gold and your silver. You know, Aaron is going to answer to God. It was Aaron that fashioned the golden calf. Nothing can be done without a bad leadership. If Aaron had stood his ground, everybody would have shut up. Moses did not have to come down from the mountain for judgment to fall. If Aaron had stood his ground, judgment would have fallen and everybody would have sat down. And they call Aaron! You know, Aaron said, he said, you know the people. They brought the gold and out came, as if the thing came out by itself. Silly Aaron. I say that reverentially because Aaron is a saint in heaven. You know, but you shouldn't have done that. So, the people rose up to play. And they sat down to eat and to drink. And they defiled themselves with the golden calf. And said it was the gold. Behold your gods that brought you out of Egypt. God was watching. So God tells Moses. He said, behold your people. He didn't call them my people. Anytime they do bad, they become Moses' people. When they do good, they are God's people. So God said, Moses, go down to your people, for they have corrupted themselves. Moses comes with Joshua. You know, Joshua is his assistant. Joshua was in the mountain too. Incidentally, the fire didn't burn Joshua. It won't burn you when you're undercover. So he comes down with Joshua, And Joshua says, ah, there is a noise of rejoicing in the camp. Moses said, it's the noise of revelry and rebellion. To cut a long story short, Moses comes down from the mountain with the two Ten Commandments in his hand. And Moses had a problem with his temper. He's always had that. That's why he killed the Egyptian. He too was still dealing with all of that. You know, he was so angry. That people, manna is coming every day. You have a mobile water works. God is blessing you every day. And all you can do is murmur, complain, and grumble. He takes the two Ten Commandments and smashes them. You know, so you are not worthy of this. Then he says this. This is where this comes from. Who is on the Lord's side? Gather unto me, my saints, that have made covenant with me by sacrifice. That's what happened. So the sons of Levi, they didn't join in all that rebellion. They gathered unto Moses. Then says, take every man his sword and go through the camp and slay 32,000. Died. Then Moses made them grind the golden calf and drink. Moses Leo. He said, drink, this is your stupid idol. Drink the water of the idol. And they had to go back to the mountain, get another, you know. But the point is this: God is coming down again. And the saints that have made covenant by sacrifice. What sacrifice? Present your bodies a living sacrifice by the mercies of God, that you may know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Saints that have made that covenant will be on the Lord's side. The saints that are worshiping the golden calf, the same that happened to those guys is going to happen to them. Now, we're not going to take a physical sword today. It's going to be the sword of the Spirit. Because you see, that's the thing about praying in tongues. You don't know whether you're praying judgment or blessing. And you don't need to know. All you need to do is open your mouth and pray. Just open your mouth and pray. That, you see, God preserves his sovereignty. I've said this before. Speaking in tongues releases God's sovereignty. God preserves his sovereignty, his privilege. See, that's why. See, when you're praying in tongues, you don't know what you're saying. Sometimes it's blessing, sometimes it's judgment. You don't need to know. That's why you're not God. I didn't hear amen. You don't need to know. Open your mouth and pray. The Holy Ghost knows. He knows what to do. He knows when to bring blessing. He knows when to bring judgment. So gather my saints unto me who have made covenant with me by sacrifice. And through them, I'm going to bring judgment. And he shall call. Oh, we've done that. Verse 6. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness. See, God is a good God. Even the heavens will testify that God is doing the right thing. For God is judge himself. Hear, O my people. This is not to the world. This is to the church. And I will speak, O Israel. I didn't hear you. And I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I'll stop there. This is present prophetic truth. It's happening as I speak. God is on the way. The full manifestation has yet come, but the fire has been sent ahead. The fire is burning as I speak, and it is to burn out the filth of the daughters of Jerusalem. First Corinthians chapter 3. Before I go there, let's go to Malachi chapter 4. Chapter 3. And we know the scripture very well, but let me just read it, hit it and running. Behold, I send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant. There's another message I have. It's in waiting. It's called the message of the covenant. But it's not for today. Whom you delight in, behold, he shall come. Who may abide the day of his coming? Who will stand when he appeareth? For he is like a what? The fire, that refining fire has been sent. As I speak now, it's present prophetic truth. And like a full of soap, I didn't hear you. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. In other words, before the purging, they were not offering in righteousness. Verse 5. I'll just read the portion, not everything. So, and I will come near to you to judgment. I will say the fire of judgment is burning in the church right now. Open your mouth. Whether you say it or not, it's happening. Say the fire of judgment is burning in the church right now. It is coming ahead of the manifestation of the glory of God in the church. See, God is coming, the glory is coming, but God sends the fire ahead. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. Sorcerers is witchcraft, passive and active. It's plenty in the church. Against the adulterers, both spiritual and physical. There's a lot of adultery in the church, you know, fornication. And then there's the spiritual one, which is friendship with the world, according to James chapter 4. Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Friendship with the lust of the flesh, friendship with the lust of the eyes, friendship with the lust of the pride of life. The Bible calls it adultery. It says, you adulterers and adulteresses. If any of this thing is hitting you, just repent. I'm not condemning you. See, the purpose of this message is to refine. So you God wants, talk to your neighbor, say, God wants you to escape. God does not want to condemn you. So everything that is in your heart, all the adultery, all the love of the world, get rid of it now. There is no time to waste. Against the adulterers, falsewares, etc., etc., etc. Now let's jump. Let's jump to verse 15. As I speak, this is the current condition of the majority of the church. It's prophetic. I'm preaching and teaching prophetically. Now, we call the proud happy. And they that work wickedness are set up. And they that tempt God are even delivered. Is that not true? Remember, wickedness is refusal to obey instruction. And you find they don't obey instruction, and yet the prosperity comes. The proud are happy. The wicked are set up. This looks as if everything is going fine for them. They are sitting down to play. They are rising up to play, and they are sitting down to eat and to drink. In many churches, not only in Nigeria, in America and all over, every Sunday is a worship of the golden calf. The whole service and message revolves around a false prosperity, idolatry, covetousness. And they're happy. And they are set up. And everything seems to be going fine. You with all your groaning and everything, where has it got you? All your fasting and your prayer, where has it got you? People who don't fast like you, they don't pray like you, you know, they have private jets. You are struggling. To to buy a small Toyota Camry. It's reality. But God has an answer. Then they that feared the Lord. See, while this thing was happening, there was a remnant. Let me correct that. There is a remnant. Who is not deceived by all of that? They are not deceived by the happiness of the proud and the setting up of the wicked. They can see through it. So then, this is prophetic. It's talking about what's happening at that time, which is now. They that feared the Lord, like you and I, by the grace and the mercy of God, speak often to each other. We encourage each other. That's why we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear. That's why you need that prayer every day, that I will increase in the fear of God. Don't miss it all. Every day I ask, you know, I choose to fear God. I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, even when I don't feel like it. I submit to the will of God when I don't feel like it. You know, so I increase in the humility. God is not going to humble you. You have to do it yourself. But when you do it, then the Holy Spirit will back it. They that feared the Lord. I didn't hear you. Spoken of often to one another. And the Lord hearkened. And a book of remembrance. Turn to your neighbors. That book of remembrance is being written now. Before him, that look at these two characteristics. They feared God and then they thought on his name. In other words, their meditation was on God's character. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, patience. That's what they are thinking. The other people are thinking of prosperity. Their meditation is based on the golden calf. But this remnant, their meditation is based on God's word, the name of the Lord, God's character. Let's move on. We're going to close soon. They, don't your neighbor say, they who? They who feared the Lord and they who thought on his name shall be mine. Now, you know, the whole church is God's. But when he came down from the mountain, he said, who is on the Lord's side? We're going to see all of that in a minute. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day. Turn to your neighbor and say, that day is this day. When I make up my jewels, I will spare them. Turn to your neighbor, spare them from what? Spare them from the trial and the temptation and the fire of judgment that is coming on the world. These are they that escape. In Israel, that are left in Zion and that remain in Jerusalem. That's why they escaped. Because God spared them. Why? Because their heart was right. Ezekiel chapter 9. There is a man with a sword who is bringing judgment to the church. Israel, the church. Then he's given an instruction. He said, put a mark on the forehead of all those who are sighing and who are praying. Sigh is a type of groaning. Who are praying because of all of the wickedness and the sin in the church. He said, don't go near them. He said, but go throughout the whole church. Start from the ancient men that are inside the sanctuary. He said, and don't let your eye pity. Baby, old, male, female, he says, slay. That's what's coming. So fear God. He's going to spare these people from all that judgment. As a man spared his own son that serveth him, then I didn't hear you. shall you return. You don't return except you left. See, people have, a lot of people have shifted in their hearts from God. We pray, we don't see anything. We do this, we do that, nothing. Fasting and prayer, so the proud are happy. And the wicked are set up. Maybe I should go and join them. It's a thought that is occurring to some people. I'm speaking prophetically. Don't do it, though. There are people who grew up in this church and they have left. Because it seems as if, what is all of this? I'm not getting in there. So. They're not suffering. Oh, every day manna is coming. Just like the children of Israel. Every day there's water works. The life of God. God is blessing them. But that abundance, the onions, the leek, and the garlics, and that they want, they haven't seen it. And they say, where is this promised land? They have forgotten all how God keeps all of them and how he has mercy on them. So in their heart, they shift. But when they see the judgment, then shall you return and discern. It means before they did not. But you see, this fire that is coming is going to show the difference. They shall discern between the righteous and the wicked. Notice he didn't say sinner. He said wicked. That's why I preached that message some weeks ago on wickedness, instruction, and humility. Wickedness is disobedience to instruction according to the word of God, Psalm 50. That's what it is. That wickedness is refusal to obey instruction out of rebellion, and they're saying their own, I will do my own. Between him, I didn't hear you, that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So you must always remember that the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. For, in other words, for means because. The way you are going to discern between the righteous and the wicked is by the fire that's coming. For, behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, those are the guys who were happy before. And all they that do wickedly shall be what? Stubble. And the day that cometh is dawning. That day we are on it right now. Shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And it shall leave them neither root nor branch. There were branches before. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with what? Healing in his wings. This fire is going to make a distinction. I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll go to that scripture. Another few minutes, we're going to close. But I'm deliberately taking my time. Because it's not just for scripture pastor. This church is for the whole church. The American church needs it. Now. Because the fire is being sent before the Lord. He said, then the wicked, the proud, the wicked, he said, they will be like stubble. It will burn them up. It doesn't mean they will go to hell, though, because many of them are God's children. We're going to see that in a minute. But they will lose their reward. The reward of the spirit without measure that they should have inherited. But those who feared his name, he said, the Son of Righteousness will arise in them with healing in his wings. That's the healing anointing. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. I've said this before, I'm going to keep repeating it. It is the word of the Lord. The hour is coming and now is where instant spectacular healings, both internal for things like cancer and things like that, and external things like withered hands, you know, blind eyes, will be as common as tongues is now. Because the Son of Righteousness is arising with healing in his wings. This fire will make a distinction. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Thank you, Jesus. Got two or three more scriptures and we're done. And look at chapter 3 and look at verse 12. I believe it is. Yes. Now, if any man build, all this is for all Christians. All of us have the same foundation. Believe in Jesus Christ. Whether you're Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Scripture Pastor, Redeemed, Winners, whatever. Upon this foundation, everybody is building as we speak. Pastor Dewey touched on this during the Bible study. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Where did you see stubble before? Remember Malachi chapter 4. The proud. The wicked. Who don't obey instructions. They're building with stubble. And wood. And hay. For every man's work shall be made manifest. For this day, the dawning of this day that is upon us now shall declare it. Or not, it will make it manifest. Because it shall be revealed by fire. That's the purpose, one of the purposes of the fire of judgment. And the fire, I didn't hear you, shall try some men's work. Pastor Lubi's work. Nobody's going to escape this. Not one of us is going to escape it. Everybody's work is going to be tried. Of what sort it is. It's the fire is going to make it clear what kind of work you are building. And if any man's work abide, which he are building upon, he shall receive what? That's the spirit without measure. The anointing, you know, borrowed anointing, full anointing, whichever. And if any man's work, I didn't hear you, shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Don't your neighbor say, I don't want to be a borderline case. You don't want to be in the category of wood, hay, and stubble. Observe, the same fire that refines gold and silver is the same fire that destroys wood, hay, and stubble. The problem is not with the fire. The problem is with the material. Let me close. Two scriptures. Three. The first one, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to hit it running. It's in Zechariah chapter 13. It's a very fearful statistic. But I must say it because you didn't send me. God sent me. And I'm not looking at your face. The Bible says 2/3 will be cut off and die. And we know he's talking about this because of the prophetic context. You know what it says? It says, and the third part shall go through the fire, and they shall be refined as gold and silver. And they will say, I am the Lord's, and they will say, they are my people. So that's the purpose of the fire. Because God is coming for... Remember, the branch of the Lord must be what? Excellent and glorious. So he's allowing the fire now to burn out the dross from the silver. To burn out the impurity. Even good gold has impurities. That's why we have 18 carat. And we have 24 carat. And we have 9 carat. The higher the carat, the less the impurities. And there's only one way of getting rid of the impurity. So you and I, we are gold. Some of us are gold. Some of us are silver. Thank God for that. But there are still infirmities buried deep within. So God allows the fire of judgment to come. When the fire of judgment comes, it causes the impurities to rise to the surface. And then they will now skim it off. So that the gold that is below will be of a purer quality. This is the purpose. And it's taking place as I'm speaking now. And the fire is going to increase in the days and in the months ahead. Because God's come for a glorious church. So the impurities, even in the gold, the impurities in the silver, I can tell you, my wife gave a testimony at the New Year, and I came along and I gave, you know, I added to it, you know, about this COVID time and all the lockdown and what it has done. We were praying before. We've always been praying people. But you know what this lockdown has done? It's made me pray even more. A lot of impurities, I saw them come up in my own life. I'm not talking about any big sin or anything like that, no. I'm just talking about little attitudes and things, you know. I used to get up early before, but I get up much earlier now. And pray. I used to pray before, but I pray much better now. I understand what the Bible is saying. I'm talking about Olubi Johnson now, and I can say that for Sarah Johnson, my wife. You know, I've been refined. I wasn't bad before, but I've been refined. The fire has been refining me all of these months. And even now, as I'm speaking, I'm still being refined. I can feel the fire. And it's okay. No problem. I understand what God is doing, and I'm cooperating with Him. Because He wants fine gold. You see, the glory that is coming has never been seen before. I don't know if you understand. A lot of people don't understand. I'm going to repeat it. I said the glory that is coming has never been seen before. It was not seen in the days of Paul. Paul was great. Peter was great. They did great things. They raised the dead. But you don't see anything like Jesus' ministry. The highest we see in Paul's ministry is Ephesus, where they bring aprons and handkerchief. They take it from his body. They take it to the sick, and the sick were healed. And the devils were cast out. Thank God for it. And the Bible says the whole of Ephesus was shaken. All the people who are doing magic and all of that, they brought their books, and the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. Thank God for it. But it wasn't like Jesus' ministry. We're into cities, villages, country. He said, once they saw him come out, he said, they will put them on the road. And as many as touched the hem of his garment were completely healed. That is why it was superior to Paul's ministry. Thank God for what Paul did. Thank God for what Peter did. Thank God for what Peter did in the streets of Jerusalem. Thank God for the revival of the early church and how it got things in motion. But the scripture says that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. And Jesus takes it a step further to stretch your faith and says, you will do what I have done and greater. That is why the gold has to be pure. The glory that is coming is going to outstrip the glory of the Acts of the Apostles. And with time, outstrip the glory that was manifested in Jesus' ministry. If God has not dealt with your heart, if your humility and your honesty has not reached a certain threshold level, that glory will destroy you. That is why the refining fire of judgment has been sent ahead of the glory to refine us, to prepare us. So it doesn't matter. You may have 50 people raised from the dead. 1,000 people can touch your garment or your hand or your car or your handbag and get healed, and you will be as humble as you were after. And it will not get to your head. God loves us too much to lose us. I'm going to repeat that. God loves us too much to lose us. In closing, what are you going to do? Well, I've actually said it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, this messenger of Satan, Pastor Dewey told us during the Bible study, the credentials of an apostle, shipwrecked 3 times, received of the Jews 30 stripes, 40 stripes, save one, 3 times. You know, in perils in waters, in perils in the sea, in perils of Kilode. I'll tell you, Kilode. Nkoto Deni, a messenger of Satan, was sent to buffet him. It wasn't sent by God. It was sent by the devil, but allowed by God. And Paul goes to God and says, let this thing depart from me. And God says, it's not like that. It will depart. But I'm not going to remove it from you by myself. I'm going to remove it from you through you. For my grace is sufficient for you. But to get that sufficient grace, you need sufficient humility. So let the work of humility continue to be done inside your heart. When it reaches a certain level, a sufficient level, sufficient grace will come out and you will get rid of that devil. That messenger of Satan is the same thing for us now. Whatever is coming against you now, go back to the word. Go back to prayer. Go back to the blood. Humble yourself. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Show me. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Remember, he will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. It doesn't matter what is coming against you. God will work in you. He will work through you. He will work for you. And he will bring you through the fire. And you will come forth like gold. You will come forth like without any impurities. So that you, as a branch of the Lord, in this third day, shall be glorious and beautiful. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The fire of judgment. It is the thing that is happening now, just before the glory. The glory is on the way. But this must come to remove the impurities, the filth. Can you believe this, mommy? That the daughters of Zion have filth? Oh yeah, all of us. I thank God. When I look back on these COVID months, I thank God. There are things that have come out to the surface that God has helped me to clean out. My prayer life is purer. My communication with God is far better, because there was nowhere to go. If it was before, I would have gone to London 5 or 6 times. I would have gone here, gone there. This one will have married. This one will. All of that was shut down. It was God. Or let me say, God used it. Now, instead of things to get better, there is now a more virulent variant of the virus. So further lockdown. It means my work hasn't finished. So, Pastor, when will the work be finished? When the glory comes. Then we will know the work has been finished. And you know what? The COVID will lift. The problems will... They will be there, but we will overcome them. Everything has a purpose. The fire of judgment. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Sing it with meaning. It's very deep.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Move! Hallelujah!
Move
amongst us with hope. As we lay aside
all earthly desires.
Hands reach out. On our hearts.
Aspire.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, we welcome
you. The same verse again before we go to the next ones. It is a great prayer. Welcome Him into your heart, into your life afresh.
Holy Spirit, we welcome.
Move amongst us. With holy fire, as we lay aside
all earthly
desires, hands reach out on our hearts.
Holy Spirit,
mean it. I welcome you.
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you. Let the wind of your presence blow.
The wind of your breath.
Your children here might truly
know
how to move
in the Spirit flow.
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you.
The last verse.
Please accomplish in us this year
some new work.
Reservedly have your way.
Holy Spirit, put one hand on your heart. Holy fire. That fire is raging as I speak. As we lay aside.
We lay aside all earthly desires.
Hands reach out.
And our hearts
aspire. Holy Spirit. Touch that heart and raise that hand.
Holy Spirit.
Now make it personal. I welcome you.
I welcome you.
With a hand raised. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in your church. We thank you for the fire of judgment that you have sent ahead of the glory to refine us so that we can be holy vessels that can carry the glory without pride. Thank you for showing us your heart and what you're doing. Pray after me. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I submit myself to the dealings of the fire of your judgment. Lord, let it burn. Let it burn out of me the impurities of pride, of arrogance, of covetousness, of the pride of life, of the lust of the flesh, of the lust of the eyes, that I might be a purer vessel that can be a channel of your glory that the world needs now for the healing of the nations, that I might be a channel of your glory in which the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings to heal the world of this COVID-19 and other sicknesses and plagues and difficulties of these perilous times. Oh God, let your fire refine me in Jesus' name. Necha shele prakatofre, zele pridin zele hiya katofre, masalenge shefridiko. Mercy, Lord, Father, thank you. Rakatosko fredest. Mercy, Father, thank you for your mercies. Lipre katolo moshele katolo fredele meshta fas. Lord Jesus, thank you. Ratolo mangara, lo pritikum tulo shengarsk. Lord Holy Spirit, rikoto fredelesk. Nongar de la Asha, Zephridia, Lopridic Tolomachelepiria, Roto Fredesc, Lombridia Cotuscofre, Lombre de la Metoras, Tolomatofredega Matolomatufrenes, Tolomangara Tolomatofres, Tolomatoscofre, Rito Fredesc, Tolomachelacatufredesc. In Jesus' name. We will share the benediction. And after that, the service will close. Remember, all the COVID protocols should please be observed. Greet people, by all means. But please don't hug. Keep a distance. Just, you know, you can bump them on the hand. You know, and that's fine. I know many of you have seen us. You want to come and greet us, that's fine. But please, we have to keep a distance, you know, because of what's going on. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation. Even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. The Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to your neighbor and say, you are allowing the fire of God in your heart and in your life to refine you as fine gold and silver to carry the glory of God. So no bones are broken and no plague will come near your dwelling. In Jesus' name, amen.